What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Disability justice activist Alice Wong has transitioned, leaving many across the Bay Area, the state, the country, grieving. We wanted to spend some time lifting up her legacy. Alice passed last Friday at the age of 51. Alice was a MacArthur Genius Award winner and the founder of the Disability Visibility Project. Here is Alice speaking about her work in 2024. Roll that tape.
Disability is so much more than pain, trauma, and tragedy. There's creativity, adaptation, and talent that comes from living in a non-disabled world. I'm Alice Wong, and I am a writer, editor, and disability justice activist. Disabled people hunger to see themselves accurately depicted, and I built my platform because there are so few spaces for us and by us. As a writer and editor, I address the lack of disabled voices in publishing, journalism, and popular culture, and illustrate the systemic ableism that renders disabled people as disposable burdens and objects of pity. Storytelling is a powerful form of resistance. It leaves evidence that we were here in a society that devalues, excludes, and eliminates us. Eugenics is not a thing of the past. Many people think having a disability like mine is a fate worse than death. The systemic ableism that I and millions of us face every day tells us that we don't matter, that our lives are too expensive and not worth saving. I want to change the way people think about disability from something one-dimensional and negative to something more complex and nuanced. There's such diversity, joy, and abundance in the lived disabled experience. We are multitudes. As a disabled person in a non-disabled world, I live in precarity like countless others. But I still have a voice. Everyone has a voice. Thinking of death and fragility often has truly instructed me on how I use my time, energy, and labor. I feel such urgency to make the most out of life and savor every single moment. By telling my story and amplifying the stories of others, cultural change can happen, and collectively we can build a world centered on justice, access, and care.
That was the voice of Alice Wong. She transitioned last Friday at the age of 51. Joining us to discuss her legacy is Yomi S. Young, a writer, disability advocate, former executive director of the Center for Independent Living, founded in Berkeley, California, and the woman that I credit with expanding my knowledge, my awareness, my focus on issues facing the disability community. I was thinking about when we first met, Yomi Mekia Devitt Cyril brought us together. And Stacy was working on
your campaign.
I'm sorry, Stacy. I'm sorry.
You know the ancestors are listening.
You know, I know she is. She's like,
It was Stacy. Although we share many people in common, many comrades, including Malkia.
Me too.
Stacy asked me if I would sit down and talk with you because she believed in you so much, as she was writing so hard for you and working hard on your campaign, your mayoral campaign. And I was not sold on you until after we met.
I remember you were pretty clear about that.
Because I had met with the previous mayor. At the request of a friend, it was really clear through that conversation that although it was a lovely conversation, we were not politically aligned, but you and I were aligned, and that was really clear. We sat at that Starbucks on Broadway.
Yeah, we did. And that conversation not only informed my campaign platform, but has informed the work of APTP ever since. That's also the work that Alice did. So I want to give you an opportunity. Like, I got a bunch of questions, but I want to give you an opportunity to say what you feel needs to be said about her legacy. That's how I want to start this conversation.
Oh boy. I mean, what do you say about someone who's, you know, your beloved community, chosen family, comrade, friend? I think, because I haven't had a chance to say this with other media outlets, NPR, things just get cut off. You and I have a little bit more spaciousness. The question I was hoping people would ask is, if they're not familiar with Alice, what's like the Alice Wong starter kit? Where should you to start to like get into her work and her politics? And I would say definitely read her memoir, Year of the Tiger. It's amazing. And then rush to social media and follow her on those platforms, because you'll get the fullness, right, of her activism. But then there was also a side of Alice that is so beautiful and nuanced and tender, and it had to do with her love of food and crip aesthetic and beauty. Alice was a foodie, and Alice was a tremendous cook, and she would cultivate menus and throw lavish dinner parties for her friends and comrades. And in 2022, Alice had a medical emergency that really dramatically changed her life. She was in the hospital. She almost died. She was there for a long time. And when she emerged, Alice could no longer speak and she could no longer eat. And so, taking away these two senses, these two bodily functions, was such, I think it was devastating for Alice, but as we know, as people who live and embody disability, you just adapt, right? Disability is an exercise in spirituality and adaptation constantly. And it's adapted. But she missed and grieved deeply her ability to taste food. And she wrote a series around eating and food and embodiment of nourishment for eater.com. It was called Low and Slow. So I would recommend three things. Go follow her on socials, read Year of the Tiger, check out some of her columns for Low and Slow. And then that's the starter kit. So Alice and I are Gen X, right? Greatest generation.
Agreed.
Back in our day, especially like the 90s, whatever, we would make mixtapes for our, you remember mixtapes?
I do.
Now it's playlists, right? So you make a playlist, but then, and that introduces you to the artist, to their book of work, the genre. But then there's the deep cuts, right? So like when you're really getting into an artist, and that genre, there are the deep cuts. So Alice often talked about the mixtape, the playlist, and then the deep cuts. So then when once you have like the intro and you want to get into the deep cuts of Alice Wong, I would pick up her Disability Visibility series, her anthologies. She gave a platform for disabled writers, and artists and thinkers to write about their experiences, to just riff and expand on a particular topic. She invited me to be part of the Disability Intimacy anthology. And so I wrote about a particular experience of becoming a mother at age 50. Wild. And then, so I would get into that series, and then I would read her work that she published for Teen Vogue. And yeah, and just, she rode to the end on that Bird app, which a lot of us abandoned a few years ago, but she was, I think she was still on that Bird app, talking her stuff, right? And getting into it. And so I would just follow her on socials, because Alice was masterful at using social media and her privilege and her platform to challenge power. And as you and I know, in one way to build power is to challenge power and to speak truth to power, and to have those receipts. And Alice came with receipts all the time around the way that power and structural oppression was being wielded against the most vulnerable in our society. And so I just want people to get into the work and get into her thinking.
It's beautiful. We will link to as much of that as we can in the archive of the show, which also gets turned into a podcast. I was, prepping for this interview, and you've done several interviews, and I read in, I think it's the NPR one, I think, that I read, not listened to, but you talked about, and this is something I didn't know, that Alice lifted up Gaza as a disability rights issue. Can you talk about that?
At a time when across the country, so many of the disability rights organizations and leadership, I mean, you know this, you and I know this, but there's a distinction between the disability rights political framework and disability justice, right? So disability rights really focuses on using the law, which is important, right? Using the rights and protections that are enshrined in federal and state law to advance equality for people with disabilities. Disability justice goes beyond that. It's intersectional. It centers the most impacted. It centers multiply marginalized experiences. And as we understand, all oppression is linked. And Alice was one of, I would say, the most prominent disability justice organizers and disability rights activists to say, full stop, let Gaza live, to call genocide, to call it genocide, what's happening in Gaza, and to help people understand that liberation has to happen for everybody. And she said, not only did she say over and over again that what is happening in Gaza to the Palestinian people is a disability justice issue, but she joined with comrades to raise millions of dollars for eSIMs so that folks in Palestine who are being bombarded, right, and being disconnected from the wider world would be able to stay digitally connected because she understood the power and the lifeline. Like, we need to hear from our kin in Gaza, what is really happening? And she was really committed to making sure that the citizens of Gaza were able to stay connected to the digital world. And she did all of that, Kat, at great personal, professional, and political risk. Authoritarianism is on the rise. It's here. And, what fascism does is just, stamp out dissent and make it really scary for people with a platform to speak out. And as you mentioned in your intro, Alice was awarded a MacArthur Genius Grant. That's a big platform. That's an international platform that really elevated her status and her work. And there were people who, gone on the internet and social media and came for her and called her a Zionist, which, calling out the atrocity that's happening in Gaza, makes you a realist. It doesn't make you a Zionist. And she stood up to them, and there were people who said very loudly that the MacArthur Foundation should rescind her genius grant because of her position on Gaza. And Alice's response to that was, whatever. I'm going to continue to speak the truth. I'm going to continue to organize and support people who are the victims in this asymmetrical war in any way that I can. And if they take the grant away from me, I still get more shine. And the people of Gaza are still, it just elevates the issue. And so she just was unflinching, and she stood on business, and she said it with her full chest, and she never, never, never backed down.
Yeah, I mean, I've got just a few minutes left with you, and I want to provide a couple of minutes, right, to do some talk about disparate impact. So we're living in some serious political times right now. Often, as you taught me, The impacts of right-wing policies or neoliberal policies, attacks on the unhoused, attacks on Black folks, on the people of color, it loses the lens of the exacerbated impact for people living with disabilities. And so as I was getting ready for like that was front and center, and I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean for, agencies can no longer talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion? What does that mean when we're talking about the end of SNAP benefits? What does that mean when we're talking about the loss of Medicaid? And then even like, what does that mean with mass surveillance networks? Like, what are the ways in which specifically these things, and you can talk about all of them, or you can pick one in about 2 minutes.
I mean,
Yeah, go ahead.
it's a disability issue because disability transcends race, socioeconomic status, gender. There are more people living with disability in this country than we even know. I mean, estimates are that a fifth of the population, that's just by census numbers, right? And government statistics, are people living with a disability. We know those numbers are higher. And we know that there are legions of people joining this community as they live with the ravages of long COVID. And so everything that you mentioned and all of the ways that the state is dismantling systems of care and support and policies and programs meant to promote equity, right? And some level of repair for what has been done, the damage and the hurt and the violence that has been done to people and communities living outside of the power establishment. All of that dismantling affects people with disabilities. It affects all of us because it's all linked. And so everything that's happening right now is it's a race issue. It's a gender issue. It's a disability issue. It's a trans issue. It's a queer issue. It's an issue for our unhoused, many of whom are our elders who are disabled. Climate destruction, everything that we see, and really the systems that you just named that are being unraveled and dismantled, are going to impact people with disabilities, people who are poor, people who are unhoused, first and foremost. Like Alice often said, we are the canaries in the coal mine. And what you do to us will have devastating ripple effects on everybody else. And that's why we should all care about everybody. You know, we collective care is our only way forward. Collective care is our only hope. And that care has to be mobilized into action. We can't just be angry, right? You can't, showing up in the street is important, but also linking up with people that actually have strategy
That's right.
is important.
Exactly.
And that's what Alice would say. She would say, organize, 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 and care and beyond.
Them good words to close our conversation on, Yomi. Thank you so much for talking to me today. It's good to see you, comrade.
Thank you. I love you, Kat.
I love you too.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.